Hello, I'm Robert Hinchliffe, Associate Editor, BJS, British Journal of Surgery. Before I tell you about the August issue, I want to draw to your attention our latest special issue. It will focus on surgery in the elderly and will follow on from the success of our most recent previous special issues in trauma and surgical innovation. We want papers to educate the surgical community on how best to manage and improve the outcomes of this fragile group of patients. It is due for publication in January 2016 and deadline for submission of papers will be 31st of July 2015. Details are available at the website www.bjs.co.uk. There are a number of cross-cutting themes in the August issue, including appropriate reporting of surgical trials, identification and outcomes of surgical disease in vulnerable groups of patients, and the equity of access to comprehensive surgical care. And there is plenty of new data to ponder for those with an interest in surgical oncology of the breast and esophagus. When and how should you revascularise patients with chronic limb-threatening ischemia? In the August leader, Professors Conti and Farber from the west and east coasts of North America suggest that answers to these questions remain elusive because of poor definitions and reporting of clinical trials. However, in a changing field of new technologies and more distal arterial disease, answers to these key issues around revascularization may be on the horizon. The latest randomized trials already underway in the UK and the USA, the Basel 2 and 3 studies, and BEST CLI, may go some way to resolve many of the outstanding issues in peripheral arterial disease. Most of us are familiar with the consort statement, but how many of you are familiar with the consort statement for reporting trials of non-pharmacological treatments, the consort NPT? I suspect not too many, given the systematic review of the surgical literature undertaken by Blenko and colleagues. This statement recommends standardising the reporting of descriptions of surgical interventions, and we don't do it well. If we are to improve the quality of surgical research, then we have really to up our game in the quality of reporting of these large randomised trials. Why do the elderly seem to do less well following some forms of surgery? In a paper that would have sat well in next year's special issue in the elderly, Morgan and colleagues from two UK regional cancer registries suggest that older patients with breast cancer do not have standardised access to surgery. There appears to be variation in selection criteria for older women for operative treatment of early breast cancer, indicating that some older women may be undertreated or perhaps overtreated. These observations may partly explain the inferior disease outcomes in the elderly. And variations in outcomes are continued as the theme in this issue, with papers from the Clinical Effectiveness Unit at the Royal College of Surgeons of England and the Japan Clinical Oncology Group. From the former, there was evidence of an association between socio-economic deprivation and inpatient complication rates for a mastectomy and breast reconstruction surgery in England. And from the latter, there were variations in survival and perioperative complications between hospitals based on data from two clinical trials of esophageal cancer. And inter-institutional heterogeneity regarding complications and survival after surgery is a problem that merits wider consideration and has certainly been microscopically analysed in other specialty fields. And all these observations come at a time when there have been major changes in the way we manage patients with gastrointestinal cancer. The indications and role of surgery appears to be changing in clinical practice. Data from the Eindhoven Cancer Registry from 1995 to 2012 suggests that there has been a significant fall in the numbers of resections performed for gastric, colon, rectal and periampullary cancer. The rates have remained stable for patients with esophageal or gastric cardiac cancer and increased for those with pancreatic cancer over the course of the registry. Two papers in this issue focus on quality of life issues. The first comes from London, where Cariati and colleagues examine the role of chemotherapy in the development of breast cancer-related arm lymphedema. They suggest that adjuvant chemotherapy with taxanes may be more likely to cause lymphedema than neoadjuvant therapy. And the second paper focuses on quality of life after retroperitoneal sarcoma surgery. This extensive and complex multivisceral resection surgery has often been thought to come at a very heavy price. However, data from Caligaro and colleagues suggest that long-term quality of life is acceptable in carefully selected patients in expert hands. And finally, for those of you who have an interest in surgical publishing, you might want to consider attending the 14th annual scientific two-day writing course, a collaboration between BGS and the Swiss Surgical Society in November in Zurich. There will be opportunities to learn from a number of prolific surgical scientists and BGS editors, how to avoid the common pitfalls, and how to ensure that your manuscripts have the highest chance of being successfully accepted into BGS and other major journals. Details can be found on our website. And that's all for this month, except to say that BGS continues to go from strength to strength with a rise in our 2014 impact factor to 5.5. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support in developing the quality of BGS and maintaining its position as Europe's premier surgical journal.